Welcome to Missionary Echoes, a ministry of the God's Missionary Church of Lebanon, Pennsylvania at 2127 Hill Street. I am Pastor Alan Walter, thanking you for joining us today, and trust your heart will be blessed as we worship the Lord together.
Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood.
In the blood
of the Lamb.
There
is power,
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 power, wonder-working power
in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be whiter, much whiter than snow? There's power in the blood, power in the blood.
Sins are lost in its life-giving flow.
There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood.
In the blood
of the Lamb. There is power,
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 power, wonder-working power
in the precious blood of the Lamb.
Would you do service for Jesus your King?
There's wonderful power in the blood.
There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb.
There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood.
In the precious blood.
Good morning, my friend, and welcome to Missionary Echoes. I'm Pastor Joel, joining you once again in the studio for today's program. Back in February of 1962, a man by the name of John Glenn circled the Earth in outer space three times, and it was tremendous. No, I was not yet born, but I can imagine the excitement of following what happened. I've heard that if you were able to hear the radio communication between Mission Control and the vessel, you would have heard this phrase coming from Houston a couple times. The man on the ground said to John Glenn multiple times, "Your attitude must be changed a few degrees." At first, listening in, you might think, well, that's a slip. He didn't mean that. He must have misspoken. He means altitude. But if you talk with someone in the aeronautics division, he would tell you the man on the ground meant exactly what he said. He meant that John Glenn's attitude must adjust itself to where he was, the position of an aircraft in relation to a given point of reference, usually on the ground level. You see, the man on the ground was giving John Glenn instructions on the needed adjustments according to the written flight plan. As one of the first men to experience spaceflight, John Glenn needed the information to keep him on track and to get him back on the ground safely. If you take a tour of the Johnson Space Center in Houston, there's a place called Mission Control. There, the guide will point out five computers where the specialists sat. Each was an authority in a different part of the mission, but they couldn't talk to the astronauts in outer space. In front of these five is one person who gets all the information from them. You see, he was an astronaut himself, and he was the only one who talks to the spacecraft. He speaks the language of the astronaut. He knows how to communicate what is needed to them. And you see, he takes the information, puts it together, and he's a vital part of the success of the mission. Living under the rule of the Heavenly King, his Holy Spirit speaks to us, kind of like a mission control, and helps to guide our path. The Holy Spirit says to us, "This is the way, walk in it, to the left, to the right. This is what I want you to do. Just listen and follow my instructions." You know, this month we've been talking about the kingdom of God, and today I'd like us to think about our attitude toward the King. I hope that you'll be able to stay with us for today's program.
I am resolved no longer to linger, charmed by the world's delight. Things that are higher, things that are nobler, these have allured my sight. I will hasten to him, so glad and free. Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to thee. I am resolved to go to the Savior, leaving my sin and strife. He is the true one, he is the just one, he hath the words of life. I will hasten to him, hasten so glad and free. Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to thee. I am resolved to follow the Savior, faithful and true each day. Heed what he saith, do what he willeth, he is the living way. I will hasten to him, hasten so glad and free. Greatest, highest, I will come to thee.
Let's look to the Lord in prayer this morning. Lord, we thank you for your goodness. We recognize you as the King. And Lord, as your subjects, we bring our request to you this morning, knowing that you are faithful, knowing that you never fail. And for that, Lord, we're thankful. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy and your grace. And Lord, as your people gather in your house this morning, may we lift up our hearts in worship to you, recognizing that you truly are worthy of our praise. Lord, you see those today who are sick and suffering. We pray that you would touch them and help them in a special way. You know those who are listening as well who have deep spiritual needs, and I ask that you would bring to them the healing and restoration that they need. I pray that you would help them recognize their need and bring it to you, and allow you to bring the healing, forgiveness, and help and transformation that only you can. For this program today, I pray that you would work according to your will. Lord, may your kingdom advance, and may hearts be opened and changed, recognizing you as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. This program is an outreach of the God's Missionary Church at 2127 Hill Street in Lebanon, Pennsylvania. If you don't have a church family, I invite you to join us each Sunday morning at 9:30 for Sunday school, 10:30 for a morning worship service, and 6 o'clock for an evening worship service. On Wednesday nights, we have a prayer and praise service at 7 o'clock p.m. I hope you'll be able to join us in person for our services, but if not, you can always go to lebanongmc.com, where you can watch live broadcasts of our services, find out about upcoming events, and even share prayer requests with us. That's LebanonGMC.com.
Dare to run with our eyes fixed on Jesus, following the footsteps of the one who's gone before us. Dare to run in the power of his Spirit, called to be victors in a race already won. Dare to run. We must have our Savior's vision, compassion for the lost, courage for the future, love at any cost. Dare to run with our eyes fixed on Jesus,
of the one who's gone before us. There to run in the power of his Spirit, called to be victors in a race already won. Dare to run.
This month, we've discussed the kingdom of God in several different ways. We began with the coming kingdom and focused on the beginning of Jesus' earthly ministry as he picked up the message of John the Baptist to repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. In our sins, we're opposed to the kingdom of God, but God is offering us forgiveness and pardon. Repentance before God is a door of hope for the sinner. Last week we talked about Jesus being the king among men, how he came as the true king and with grace and truth revealed the glory of God to a sin-darkened world. The power of God to set us free from the evil that has us trapped is truly amazing. But today I'd like to focus on how we should respond to the rule of the heavenly king. Throughout the Sermon on the Mount, throughout Matthew chapter 5 through 7, Jesus compared and contrasted the kingdom of earth with the kingdom of heaven. Chapter 6 gives us insight into how we should approach the King of Heaven. Here's what we see in Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. This is Jesus speaking. He says, "After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forget our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen." You know, we can have a place as an adopted child of God in the kingdom. Isn't that awesome? The Apostle Paul writes of how we can be reconciled with the kingdom of heaven in Ephesians chapter 2. We find, "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that, in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us, through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." We see here in these scriptures that there's a tension here of being a child of God with new life and freedom from the sins of the past, living this wonderful new life to the fullest, but yet we're still here on earth with sin all around us, looking forward to a day when there's so much more to come. There in verse 7 of Ephesians 2, Paul wrote that we can look forward to the ages to come when God will show us the exceeding riches of his grace. For the Christian, the best is yet to come, isn't it? It's a beautiful thing to be part of God's kingdom here on earth. But what an amazing day it will be to see what God has in store for his children in heaven. You know, it gives me great confidence to recognize that by the saving grace of Jesus, God is my Father. And as my Father, I can respectfully approach his throne. In those words of Jesus recorded for us in Matthew 6, verse 9, "After this manner, therefore, pray ye." Remember, this is Jesus speaking. He says, "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." We see an attitude here of reverence and confidence that's carried throughout this passage. We don't come before the King who knows our hearts with thoughts of selfishness or a vindictive attitude toward anyone, because he knows. He knows our attitude, and our attitude and our approach should be humble. The words of the next verse in verse 10 says, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." You know, when we come to the King, we recognize that he is the ruler and we're not. We don't have the right to make demands of the King, but yet there's a beautiful familiarity that we approach him as our Father and we can make our requests known. You know, if you've ever assembled any IKEA furniture, you know the importance of following the instructions, don't you? In the past, I've helped build houses and have a small degree of mechanical knowledge. I've taken a lot of different things apart and put them back together. So I can look through the box and figure out how to put some of the parts together. But if, when I open some IKEA furniture, some of those flat, packed things, if I go ahead with what just seems right, it just never comes out right. So experience tells me to find the instructions first, follow them, and I'll save myself many problems. You know, when we come before God and recognize that he is the ruler and that we're not, it should bring us relief. To know that God has full knowledge where we only know in part. To know that God has full power where we quickly find our limitations. What a relief to recognize that he knows what needs to be done and also has the power to do it. And so our attitude should be as willing recipients of his rule. This is a prayer of submission we find Jesus modeling for us. We recognize here that we can resist God, that he's given us the option for our will and our attitude to be turned away from him. We can choose to walk away. And in this model prayer, Jesus shows us how to submit to the rule of the King. The entire prayer is a respectful request of the King for his favor and recognition of his power. It's a prayer of submission. Also, we find that this is a prayer of separation. We recognize that there's a battle between the kingdom of the world and the kingdom of heaven. Right and wrong are fighting, and we're siding with the kingdom of heaven. We're not going to imitate the world, but follow the leadership of our King. Our goal should be that our plans and actions bring honor and glory to our King. Also, we see here an attitude of dependence. Verse 11 says, "Give us this day our daily bread." Our need for daily food is recognized before God. And I think it's right and proper to ask that he see fit that the need is met. As his child, it's reasonable that we come with our basic needs to him, asking that they be met. We're looking to God for the strength and health that we need to live. Also here we see that there's an attitude of forgiveness. It's a major part of the separation between the life of the sinner and the life of the Christian. Just as we've been forgiven, so we're to forgive. Christ is our leader and our example of forgiveness. There's just a goodness and a grace to the kingdom of God that transcends the kingdoms of the world. The King offers forgiveness, adoption as his own, an inheritance in heaven, and provision for our needs while we live here on earth. It really, truly is an amazing offer. So, my friend, what is your response to the King of Heaven? Are your sins forgiven? Are you a child of God with new life and hope found in Jesus? You know, today there's grace extended to you, and an inheritance in heaven that can be yours. Also, what is your attitude toward the kingdom of heaven? Are you looking for God's kingdom to come? Are you looking for God's will to be done? If you've been saved from your sins and adopted as a born-again child of God, you know the joy of living under the rule of the true King. And I'm sure you're looking with anticipation to spend eternity in the kingdom of heaven. This is where our attitude toward the King matters. To the proud and self-righteous, the thought of standing before God is terrifying, and it should be, because they're the enemy of God. But to the humble, who will confess their sins to him and ask for forgiveness, he extends mercy and pardon. I hope that you personally know the love of God and the transforming power that he offers to those who trust in him.
Could own all the world and its money, build castles tall enough to reach the sky above. If you could know everything there was to know about life's game, yet you've known nothing until you've known God and His love. Until you've known the loving hand that reaches down to a fallen man and lifts him up from out of sin where he has trod. Until you've known just how it feels to know that God is really real, then you've known nothing until you've known the love of God. If in your lifetime you could meet everybody and you could call every name from here to yon, but if you've not come face to face with Jesus and His saving grace, then you've known no one until you've known the love of God. Until you've known the loving hand that reaches down to a fallen man and lifts him up from out of sin where he has trod. Until you've known just how it feels to know that God is really real, then you've known nothing until you've known the love of God. Until you've known the loving hand that reaches down to a fallen man and lifts him up from out of sin where he has trod. Until you've known just how it feels to know that God is really real, then you've known nothing until you've known the love of God. Then you've known nothing until you've known the love of God.
Our time for this program is quickly coming to a close, but if you would like to talk to someone about a spiritual matter or a need in your life, we would love to talk with you and share Jesus with you in person. You can stop by today during regular service times at 10:30 this morning or at 6 o'clock tonight, or you can call our church office and set up an appointment. The number to call is 717-273-3690. You can also send us an email at lebgmc@gmail.com. If you just enjoy a good story, you should try out our Dial a Story program. You can find a new story each week by calling 717-273-4561 and listen to a story geared for children, sharing the gospel message and building Christian character. I am Pastor Joel, wishing you a very blessed week.
and He is mine. It's in my heart. How can I help but sing and shine? It's in
it's in-